in this space and every space that we find ourselves in. But today, let's join our minds now in that space. Father, we thank you for life and for the life that you are blessing us with here in this community called Five Stones Church. We're grateful people. And we've all come into this space this morning from different places, from different experiences and circumstances. God, we just ask that you would indeed just kind of wash over us this unifying sense that we are in your presence, here together, breathing the air of your kingdom, taking in and out your very nature, God, as we do so. So find our hearts open to the things of your kingdom. God, find our hearts and our minds willing to receive what it is you would say to us today. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today is the Sunday after Resurrection Day. And so we've come into this place and we've kind of had our Easter kind of moment. And now it's the next, it's a week later, and we stand in this place and we sing the songs and we gather together in this kingdom community. And I just always like to ask myself this question, so what? So what that we had that moment? So what that we had that day? So what that we had the meals afterwards and the Easter egg hunt? So what that we came and heard a sermon and sang on that day? So what? And one of the things that I absolutely, I am sort of captured by when we talk about the Easter moment is actually some words that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Rome in chapter 8. He talks about, in the Message translation, he talks about the resurrection life. So the so what of Easter isn't so much, well, it is that we celebrate Jesus coming back to life, but it's also the fact that we now have access to life itself. And so Paul describes it as this. He says, this resurrection life that we now get a chance to live is not a timid, grave-tending life. If we remember the Easter morning story of the women going early to anoint the body of Jesus in the tomb to cover up the aroma of what we all know to and knew to then have been the inevitability of death. They came to cover up that aroma. And what Paul says and what our understanding of the good news of the gospel is that we don't have to do that anymore, that the shame and the pain and the things that kind of cling to us, we know we are free from. We have a resurrection life. We no longer need to go around excusing ourselves and hiding ourselves and covering up things. We're free to mess up and still be who we are, sons and daughters. We're free to mess up or to be impacted by the absolute crushing sense of brokenness in the world and still be brothers and sisters, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. This is the resurrection life. This is the hope that pops up from the grave, right? And so I seize on that, and I'm always sort of having in the back of my mind this idea that no matter how I'm feeling, no matter what I've done to mess up or what I've done that I think actually makes me look better than I did the moment before, that's all wrapped up in this sense of this resurrection life that you and I have access to because of Jesus. So what again? And so we're gonna kind of explore that a little bit through some well-known texts today. One in particular, we call it the Great Commission. And John, if you can go ahead and bring that up for us today. This version of it I took out of the Message translation because not many of us have it memorized in this translation. We have, if we do have it memorized, in another version. And I love doing this, disrupting sort of what we think we know. Even if it's only to come back around to knowing it again, but in a fresh way. So this is this gathering that Jesus is having with his disciples one more time, and he's saying, look, I'm about to head out of here for reals now. And I've got some things I want to say to you. So Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. And I think to myself, what a great like opening line for the next chapter of our resurrection life. Let's break it down. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. And graduates, don't think that there is like a weird coincidence here that this message is also for you as we're sending you out of here as well. But the message fits in the timeline for us. Jesus says, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. You're familiar with the all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me, and so now go. This is the sense of what Jesus is saying here in this version. So first we ask ourselves this question, what authority is he talking about, and what does it mean to be commissioned? Jesus is speaking to his disciples as their rabbi, not just their savior, but as their rabbi, the teacher that they have followed, the teacher that chose them, which was the opposite of the way followers got chosen by rabbis in the day. They had to pass all the tests and be presented and make the grade and be the best of the best. Well, Jesus didn't do that. He went out to the uneducated, to the broken, to the culturally unqualified people, and he said, come follow me. He is speaking to them as their rabbi. The rabbi whose responsibility is to give not just their interpretation of God's word, but to show people how to walk in it. This is where we get our sense today of learning the way of Jesus and living the way of Jesus. The rabbi would issue their interpretation and then challenge their disciples to live it out the way that the rabbi lives it out. So Jesus comes with the authority of a rabbi. And of course, we also know and have this sense that he also has the authority of heaven. He is the Son who was sent to open the tomb, to free the captives, and to allow for us to have a resurrection life. All of that authority he's been given, and he's come to commission them, come to commission us, you and me. So what does it mean to be commissioned? And in this sense, this idea of being sent, as you saw the title of our time here today, is a sense of being sent under the authority of someone else, on someone else's behalf. I commission you to do this thing for me. Jesus says, I have all this authority, and now I am commissioning you, I am sending you to take my authority and do what I am asking you to do. So on the stop of understanding this resurrection life, I want you and I to have this moment where we recognize that the resurrection life isn't just about not wearing masks anymore, isn't just about stepping from darkness to light or from death to life. It's about stepping into authority. It's about being sent ones on his behalf. So commissioned to what? It should be the question that we're asking ourselves here. If commissioning is this formal authorizing, this going in the authority of the one who commissioned you, commissioned to do what? Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life. Commissioned to do what? What does a rabbi do? This is my interpretation. This is how I think it should be lived out. Commissioned to what? You and I are commissioned to what? To be like that. To be rabbis. To accept the authority of one who is receiving authority from someone else, to teach and to live, to instruct and to walk. It's pretty serious stuff, this Great Commission. But it's also the substance of our resurrection life. It's not just about evading darkness. It's about propagating light, you and I. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, commissioned to be like a rabbi. Well, not like a rabbi, to be a rabbi. And I want to stop and ask yourself, after this Easter moment, some of us have had more Easter moments than others, have you ever settled in this space where you realize that now I'm supposed to be like him? That's what he's saying. I'm supposed to be like him. Teaching people to live like him. It's been a rough week for me on several levels. But just 3 days ago, I got word that the man that I grew up next door to, that I've known since I was three, he passed away. His name is Ken Avery. Ken Avery is, greatest generation, a fella that fought for freedom, but more than that, as I learned over the years, fought for the ones that he loved, carried that as his rationale for being in places where darkness was winning so that he could turn the tide. I remember hearing stories about him following the wheat harvest across the Great Plains when he was a young man, and having a horse-drawn cart that had a platform on the back. So when there were grass fires, they would drive the cart up to where the grass fires were, and then this platform had levers on it, and they would use it to stamp out the grass fires. So he would literally drive a team of horses into a grass fire, and then this is the kind of guy that he was. And when I first toddled over to his house at the ripe old age of three, I can vaguely remember his big voice, his cowboy hat, his boots. But as the years kind of stretched out from there, Ken Avery taught me so many things. In fact, I would say that outside of my father, Ken Avery taught me more about life than any other human being. I remember sitting in the field back behind our houses, and him asking me to notice the different shades of green in the field grasses. What color would you call that? He would ask me. He called me Billy. Billy, what color would you call that? Billy, what pattern do you see on that tree in the bark? What kind of tree is that? Billy, when we work with these fruit trees, this is how we prune them. This is what we do to make sure that they're healthy. And he, I didn't know it at the time, instilled in me a love, not just a love of nature, but eyes to see it and patience to look for what God has done. A capacity to care about nature around me, the creation around me. He gave me that way of life. He also showed me what it looked like to work from sun up to sundown. On the Avery household, they had five children. The Avery household had a big bell on the back porch. And so when all the boys were out working, and Mr. Avery, Ken, was out working, like, there was no telling where they were and consequently where I was, because I followed them wherever they went. The only way to get them all back to one place at the same time was to ring the bell. And sometimes that bell would ring multiple times as Ken's wife, Jan, was calling them in for dinner, which then meant I also had to go home. But to be out, to be at the task of whatever it is that day until the task was done. He taught me the love of family. Five kids really spread out in ages. Being a traffic cop, being the bank of dad sometimes, being a disciplinarian. He was a landscaping architect most of his life. He taught me how to look at a patch of woods or a field or a structure and see what beauty could actually come around it or what could be built from it or off of it. And I think to myself now, man, that guy was discipling me. And every time I was with him, he would tell me, oh gosh, don't we have a good life? Isn't Jesus good to us? Every time. And in the later years, as we didn't see each other as much, every time we did, he would linger longer, as long as he could with me in the little patch of pines between my parents' house and his. He would love to hear stories of my children growing. And he would say, oh, I remember when you were that age. And then he would tell me this, and this I carry in my resurrection life. He would tell me every time before we parted how proud he was of me, how often he thanked God for the man that I was becoming. And I didn't get to say it to him in these last couple of weeks, how much it meant to me to take on that identity of the one who is making someone proud, the one who's being made into a godly person. I know it's a somber tone, but man, that guy took every bit of authority that God gave him. And he was a rabbi to me. And he instructed me in the ways of Jesus. He lived it in front of me and then encouraged me to live it too. He took his commissioning super seriously. And this, this is what we take away from the Easter moment. This is what we take away from our time at university, of being sent in authority, taking it on, becoming rabbis to the world around us. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we've studied at all, that we're absolutely qualified in every cultural way that we can think of. It just means we take the authority that we're given and we step into the resurrection life. And then we echo also the words of Paul that we would ask other people to imitate us in as much as we are imitating Jesus, as we walk like the rabbi. The Great Commission, as we know it, continues on like this. After we are training everyone we meet far and near in this way of life, we mark them. Mark them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We mark them in this way as a way of recognizing them as a part of this Trinitarian community, the original community, Father, Son, and Spirit. We present to them Jesus. We live like him as much as we know how, as much as we understand. And we invite them into the same community that we ourselves are so grateful to be a part of, marking them by baptism in the name of the original community. Then instruct them in the practice of all that I have commanded you. And that sounds like a big deal, right? Behaving like rabbis, all that Jesus has commanded us, except when we recognize that he simplified these commands, right? Love God with everything you've got. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. This is it. Love, love, love. It's interesting to think about you or I when I think about myself in this role as rabbi and all of the goofiness of my life, the brokenness of my life, the ways that I'm not great or even good. Sometimes, if you're like me, you hear something like this and you're like, my gosh, how can I ever possibly live into that? How could that even be true of a person like me? And then I think of another incredibly powerful resurrection life description that comes along in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, the letter to the church in Ephesus. If you can go ahead. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does, the rabbi stuff. the resurrection life stuff, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work that we had better be doing. And I'm mindful of this thought. He created us, and the word there, you've heard me talk about it before. He made us on purpose, like a masterpiece, like the greatest piece of art that anyone has ever seen. And so when I think about the fact that I'm not Jesus, when I think about I'm not perfect, when I think about I didn't go to Hebrew school and don't have all the qualifications culturally to do the things maybe that I think I'm being asked to do, I remember this, that he made me unique, on purpose, in a certain way, so that my life would represent certain things to the lives of the people around me. And that in living into that as much as I know how, which some days doesn't seem like much, is me taking that authority and me taking this resurrection life seriously and engaging in the good works that only I am created to influence and be a part of. Isn't that amazing? If we flipped back to the Great Commission, those closing words, Jesus says, day after day after day, you, the way you are, the way I made you, the way that you've been shaped and are being shaped that way, you, I am with you every day. Our rabbi is with us, even as we accept the authority to be rabbis ourselves. And this is the inevitable so what of Easter. Not just being rescued from the dark, but being compelled and propelled and empowered and invited into the light to take the authority that we've been given, to take the nature and character of God that he poured into us uniquely at our creation and share that with the world around us in a way that makes more light. And so, our graduates, what more can we say about this moment in your lives? About you being sent from this period into a new period, other than you go in the authority that you've been given. Take it on. Take it seriously. Be like Jesus. Behave like Jesus. Whatever it is that he made you for, some of you know than others of you. I changed my major 8 times, right, before I graduated. But you know that he's making you. He's making you still more and more, uncovering more and more of his image in you. Take the authority that he gives. Wherever it is you go from here, I'm going to invite you to come up now and tell us where you're going from here, so that we can commission you and send you in the authority that God gives, not just to each of you, but to us. So, I have this thing in my hand. It's called a microphone. It doesn't work unless you talk from your belly button if you hold it down here. So, like this, right? And I want you to say your name. I want you to maybe share a little bit about your time here, and then what's next. And then we have a little gift for you. I told you we're bribing you. Yes. And Shauna's going to help us out with that today. So go ahead.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to come up and speak with you. I appreciate that. My name is Hannah Witkoff. I will soon be entering the adult world along with these lovely ladies next weekend, so I'm excited about that. I'm so grateful to be here. I was asked to talk a little bit about how God has touched my life in the time that I've been here. And if I could sum that up in one word, I would just say community. I'm really blessed to not only have you all in front of me to have loved on me over the past 5 years, but I've formed close friendships with my peers, my classmates, colleagues. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to maintain those relationships upon graduation. So I'm very thankful that God has blessed me with a loving community. And then as far as where I'm going next, I do have a job lined up. I'll be at the J.M. Smucker Company. So I'll be on their finance team. Specifically, I'll be working on their plant project services group. So working with their manufacturing plants to help them on their capital projects and financial record keeping and all that fun numbers stuff. Yeah, it's not for everybody, but I really have felt called to it and find the work very fulfilling. So I'm very blessed in that regard as well. Is that good? Sure. So I chose Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I can go ahead and read that. Yeah. It reads, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I chose that one because waiting on the Lord and his timing has been something of a struggle. It's something that has been a challenge for me, especially when his timing for the things that going on in my life don't always match up with the personal plan that I foresee for myself. But this verse is a good way to kind of ground myself in the fact that waiting on his timing is worth it, because his plan is bigger and brighter than anything I could dream up on my own. So, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
My name is Jessica Schreider, and I will be graduating with a degree in math and integrated math education next week. I have just been so ridiculously blessed by this church. This church, all you people, have been a literal answer to prayers. Not only my prayers, but prayers of my family and prayers of my friends, as my college journey started off pretty rough. It was pretty challenging. And I just had so many people praying for me that I could find a Christian community to support me through all the changes that were happening, all the things that I was experiencing. And this church stepped in and filled that place in my heart way better than I could have even fathomed. And being a part of this church for my 4 years here has just been such a blessing. I have formed friendships not only with these ladies up here, but with you guys. You have poured into me, you've encouraged me, you've prayed over me, and I just really just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for supporting me when I was a mess, and there were plenty of Sundays where I just sat in these pews and cried my eyes out, and you guys were here, and you weren't scared of that, and you supported me in that, and that just means so much to me. And the verse that I picked was John 16:33, which is, "For I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." And I think that just is a reminder that as much as I would like to say that, hey, I'm a Christ follower, everything should be easy peasy, smooth sailing, that wasn't promised. Jesus told us, hey, things are going to be challenging, but just to remember that there's light on the other side of that. And then as far as my post-graduation plans, I am working on getting a job, hopefully teaching middle school math around Columbus, which is where I'm from. So, yeah.
I'm Abby. I'm also graduating. I have degrees in international business and hospitality management, and minors in Spanish and marketing. Just a little bit. Shauna, talk about an experience, a God highlight over your 4 years. And I was just like, Shauna, my God life is so different than it was 4 years ago. So I was trying to think about what I wanted to share. And I decided I wanted to share about just this past year of my life. This, my senior year of college, has been super hard. It was hard academically. I have severe senioritis about everything school related. Still have like 4 more papers to finish, or you guys will see me next semester. In addition to all of like everything academia going on, I definitely like, was walking through like a season of darkness. I don't know where in the world the line is. Like once you're past this point, you are officially depressed. But I was as close to that line as like I have ever been in my life. And I just wanted to be done. I wanted to be done with the God thing. And yet, Bill would sit there and let me just talk at him for several hours at a time. Shauna and Kim and Jody and Amanda all took turns loving on me and caring about me. These ladies up here have done the same thing. And then just the rest of you, like the last place I wanted to be was here. I did not want to experience God, yet I liked you guys, and so I just kept coming. And I've definitely have walked through that a lot. Things are better now than they were, for sure. I've learned a lot about God's love for me because as it's taken me a lot to go back to God because I'm just like, God, I like was awful to you. Like if I was this awful to another human, they would just like cut me off completely. But God wants us to come back. So I think you guys for the part that you've all played in like that role in my life. And yeah, so thanks for that. As far as my favorite verse, I gave Shauna a really cute one, but then I also jokingly told Shauna that my favorite verse is in Mark, and it's that part of Mark in the Garden of Gethsemane, like 14, 51, and 52, where there's that, like the whole naked guy in the Garden of Gethsemane that runs away from Jesus. And then and I was just like, the Bible leaves out a lot of details about a lot of things, but for some reason, that's important enough to be in there. And then as I've been reflecting about what I wanted to share today, it like almost made more sense to talk about that verse because I ran away. But most people believe that that guy in Mark is Mark himself. And Mark came back. Like Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. He was a missionary. He did all those things. And so God can still like use me, like even though I ran away. I'm really glad I gave Shauna a cuter verse to write on this thing because that would be weird to have this played. But as far as like future plans, for sure still figuring that out. I have lots of job interviews. I have one job offer that I haven't decided if I'm taking or not. So definitely, I am going to Disney World with Jessica. That's fun. So definitely still walking in that season of figuring out what is next. So. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Erica. I have an intervention specialist degree. So a highlight about my walk, freshman year, I couldn't say that I had a relationship with God, but through the love and support that I've gotten from Five Stones, I don't know where I'd be without it. It's taken me through a lot of student teaching to understand just what I'm going to miss and how lucky I was to be here. So that is me. My verse that I chose, let me find it, hang on. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. That really spoke to me because I know that in God, I have that place that I can just be myself and I don't have to live up to anyone's expectations, just his and my own. As of future plans, I have a prospective job interviewed tomorrow, so exciting. I will hopefully be teaching, don't know where, just somewhere. So that is me.
I am Hannah Drake. I will be graduating with a degree in psychology. My future plans, I recently got accepted to Ball State University in Indiana for a dual master's in social psychology and clinical mental health counseling. This church has been such a godsend for me. I've never before found a church where I felt so accepted and loved. One second. It's been amazing. Yeah. Okay. Well, my verse was Romans 8:38-39, and it basically just says, nothing in this world can keep us from God. And it's been great. Okay, I gotta stop now. Go ahead.
My name is Jenna Brown, formerly Jenna Resacker. I've definitely had, you know, lots of highlights at Ashland. It's hard to choose just one. I've definitely been so blessed with mentors and professors. My degree is in early childhood education with a fourth and fifth grade endorsement. So I've definitely been blessed with many mentors throughout, you know, my student teaching experiences. But one of the biggest blessings was finding this church and getting to know all of you, and now having so many mentors through this church, especially getting to know Bill and actually having him marry my husband and I. That was an awesome blessing, and now I have Bill in my life forever because of that. So that was probably the biggest highlight, just being able to find this church and, you know, being rooted in here forever, no matter where I end up. Future plans are kind of rocky right now because Casey, my husband, just went active duty with the military, and he's in training for a long time, and we're not really sure where he'll end up being stationed or, you know, when I'll get to be able to go move and be with him. So I kind of have to stay mobile for the next few months or so until I know where he will be, because that's where I will end up. So my end goal is to have my own classroom and be teaching. I'm just not sure exactly where or when that will be, but I know that, you know, everything will work out. So the verse that I actually chose, it was hard to give Shauna just one, but one that's definitely been with me very much so recently is Jeremiah 29:11, and it's basically God saying that he knows you and has plans for you, and these are going to be good plans and plans that will give you hope and a good future. And that has really stuck with me a lot lately, because it's hard to not know exactly where my life is going when I've always had it, you know, planned out for the last 4 years. I've always known exactly what the next year has held, and I have no idea what the next year holds, but that verse definitely keeps me rooted and knows that the plans will be good and it'll all work out however God wants it to be. So, yeah.
So, if he could have been here, but he told me last night to say, all of your hard work does not go unnoticed, and he's incredibly proud of you.
Thank you.
So, you have something to say? And Hiji, yes, please.
So there's one other person that we wanted to honor today, and that's Hiji. And she is not graduating, but she is an exchange student from South Korea who's been able to worship with us over this semester. And so we just wanted to honor her and say what a privilege it was to have you worshiping with us. And we want to send you back home with love and just praying over you and affirming who you are. And it's been a joy to get to know you, Hiji. So do you want to share anything about your verse? You don't have to, but the verse that she chose is Romans 8:26, and that's that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, which is so beautiful. So I would love to pray over all of you together, if that's okay.
You that have had a relationship with these young ladies, mentoring, some of your names were mentioned, and you want to come forward in the Five Stones way, we are going to commission them now, as we pray over them, to send them out to the places that God is drawing them to be a part of new communities of faith, to take this idea, this sense of the kingdom of heaven with you where you go, and to go with all of the authority, to go with all of the authority that God gave to Jesus, and he gives to us. So we want to send you in that authority. And Shauna, if you want to start praying, I will close us out as we go along today. But this, I am incredibly proud to say that this is the Five Stones way of being in each other's lives. And when God calls us to a new place, to send you, not just with sadness because we won't be seeing you soon, but with excitement and joy and confidence that you carry that authority and that mantle with you. So, Shauna, please.